All right, the reason for sharing out of the Old Testament is that Jesus wasn't just born, he was born a king. And he wasn't just born a king of heaven or of the church, he was born a king for this world. That he will rule shortly. He doesn't rule the world right now. He is not king. They don't recognize him as king. He doesn't just impose himself on a people. But he is Lord for us. He's our Lord. But he's not yet Lord for the world, but he will be very shortly. And at that time, the wicked will never, ever, ever rule again. Yeah. Today they rule. And not just here and there, but everywhere. Because we're still living in the time of the Gentiles. And because of that, because we rule in the time of the Gentiles, you can't change it. In other words, they will have their day, and it'll be a 3.5-year period, biblically understood, 1,260 days. McCray, it's not that bad. So, what's neat about it is he has these four titles. These are called throne titles. All the kings of the ancient world had multiple throne titles, queens too. And so his first title is Wonderful Counselor. In other words, everything that comes out of many of our politicians' mouths may sound wonderful, but when it comes down to it, it often is to take away the wonderful part. And so it's not really such a wonderful counselor after all. Counselor is somebody who stands alongside of you and comforts you. Everything that Jesus will do and is now doing and ought to be doing in his churches, if he had any, everything is comfort us. And many Christians are not comfortable. They're not comforted. And so the reason that Jesus came into the world was to be this wonderful counselor, and our light and our salt would be then the hope of the world. The world would see how we live for the last 2,000 years, and they would realize that even though it's the time of the Gentiles and the wicked rule, we are light and salt. We keep preaching the truth in love without any apology or worry, or we don't care if we suffer, we don't care if they like it or don't like it. We're just living what we believe to be the truth, and it is not yet... It is not yet popular. It hasn't yet, after 2,000 years, you'd think maybe some people would think it was. Actually, however, in a lot of the world today, Christians are coming in by the thousands and thousands and thousands. I would say every day at least 100,000 people across the world on average, every single day. That means every 10 days or so, another million people, not here in America, not here in America, and not in Europe, the very birthplace of Christianity, where you would think it would be great. Even Israel today has many more. In fact, there are more Jewish people today who follow Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, than ever before, added all the other centuries combined together. There are more alive today who are not just Jewish people living somewhere, but in the land, Sabra, meaning they were born in the land. So the Jewish people also are being harvested, and many of the leaders in Israel are sending their children here to America to be born again. In other words, they know that Judaism has not kept its promise to its people. And so there are multitudes in a lot of the leaders who believe now that, and the biggest group in the Knesset, that's their ruling body, are Christians, Jewish Christians. So they believe if an election was held today, it might be a Christian, probably would be, because they're the largest group. At any rate, God has written this 2,700 years ago to tell us that a king would be born and he would be God. It can't be just one of God's prophets or one of his agents. I know that, McCray, but it can't be. It has to be. It has to be that he's God himself, because in another part of Isaiah and in other places, it says that God himself will be seen, heard on the streets of Jerusalem, Judah, in the streets of the city. And so all throughout the Old Testament, there's a prophecy about a Messiah coming. A Messiah just means a son of man, a great person, could be a king, could be different things, but someone great, but definitely man. And that's why Jesus is both Son of God and Son of Man, so that he could, in fact, be the king of this world. He actually qualifies. Not all leaders do qualify to be kings, but this one does. So he is Son of God, therefore his kingdom will be heavenly founded. It'll be founded on heaven, founded on worship. Our founding fathers also thought that America should be founded on worship. George Washington thought that clearly. In 1796, he wrote, when he was departing office, his farewell address, and he said, of all the habits and dispositions that make for prosperity, political prosperity, religion and morals are the indispensable supports. And then he said later, and don't think you could have morals without religion. So he and the others too, Madison and so on, they all wrote about that. And in Texas, the same thing again. And they wrote in their declaration in 1836, they wrote that the reason that we're fighting against Santa Anna and the dictator who's trying to take us over here in Texas, and the reason we're rebelling from that, or we're actually sticking to the original Constitution, which he broke, is because of religion. And they said very clearly, we want to be free not to follow what someone tells us we have to worship, but to follow and glorify the true and living God. Wrote that directly, comes right out of the scripture. And so it's not just any old God, it's the true and living God. And because we're all Christians here, or ought to be, there's only one true and living God. How can you tell? Because it's Jesus. Jesus is the one that is introducing this kingdom that is all joy, all hope, all good, all true, all right, all just. And there's no just government anywhere on earth ever at any time, and I've studied them. You cannot have them be just and stay just without Christians in the foundation. It's impossible. I can show you any country that you want, any culture, any people, and without Christians somewhere in the foundation of that society, you can't have even a modicum, that is a small measure of hope for a just government. Now, that doesn't mean that in this country where we have some Christians, that we are the majority. Nominally, of course, there are a lot of Christians. But true Christians, those that truly are full of joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on, that they're rare. They're rare. And so most, and that's in the Bible, by the way. That's not a surprise. Most of the Christians in our day are lukewarm. Not hot. Zestos in the Greek. Not hot, but kliaros. So lukewarm Christians won't make it. If you're lukewarm, it's kind of like, well, you know, try a little Jesus, a little bit of the world. You can't mix. With God, it has to be pure and perfect. Now, all of us know that we also still sin. And all of us know that we're not yet perfect. Could I hear an amen? So it isn't that we made a promise. That's not the issue. The issue is that he made a promise, and the issue isn't that you obeyed it. The issue is that you believed it. Yes. And because you believed, you will obey. And if you don't, there's something wrong. There's something wrong because he promised, swore an oath, that those that belong to him, the lukewarm, we have no idea what's going to happen to them. I don't know. But those that are hot, who are completely in love with him and who believe that they can't pull it off, but that baby that was born 2,000 years ago has been sent to earth right on time to do everything that God said. Yeah. Now, to bring it up until today, that agenda isn't over. And the best is yet to come. So every year when we celebrate Christmas, we are well aware that you got to make your own decision, regardless of anybody else, personally. And then churches have to decide whether they want to follow God all the way or follow some other deal. But I guarantee you, you'll have nothing but corruption. That's why we have so much of it today. It's not discouraging at all. God said it would be that way. They'll have their day in court. But in the end, we win. Yeah. And nobody else. Yeah. If you're not ready when he comes, you will not be invited to the marriage supper. I get a lot of invitations, the governor, the new governor, and the lieutenant governor, and all of them. And then you get these invitations with gold thing on them, and I'm not going to go, but still you get them. And so you have to have an invite, and you will not get an invite if you're just lukewarm or, you know, some kind of nice Buddhist or something. They're not going to get an invite. Now, the problem is not them, it's us. The problem is not the Buddhist and the Hindu and the lukewarm Christian. It's us. We aren't hot enough to even make the lukewarm hotter or to expose the cold as cold, because that's the purpose of the truth of the gospel. And so Jesus came into the world not to condemn it. It already is, in trouble. Anywhere you go in the world, there's no hope. I can just tell you, there is no hope. The only thing people can do in China or in various countries is to just mind their own business and forget the government. Because there's no hope in the government itself or in the economy, you know, filtering down or anything else. The only hope is a personal love affair with Jesus Christ. Amen. And then a worshiping body. Yeah. And you can worship with just two. You don't have to have hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands. You can just have two people meet in a parking lot or, you know, in a grocery store. That's church. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So we don't really need to have churches. The reason we have them is because God wants them. But I'm just telling you, you don't need to have a church to find another Christian. And if you can't find one, convert someone who isn't. It's just by your light and your salt. So this light that came into the world, Jesus Christ, he is the wonderful counselor. Then it says he's El Gibor, the mighty God. Now, I know Jehovah Witnesses want him to be not mighty. They want him just regular kind of a guy. No, he's not just a son of God or just a kind of a junior God thing. He is the God, the one true God. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why we get baptized in the singular name. In the name, singular, not in the names. So there's not three gods and so on. But it's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Three persons, but equally God. One is not higher than the other. I know Jesus said, the Father's greater than I, but he didn't mean by that, he's more God than I am. What he meant is, I voluntarily, out of love, not because I'm not God, equally, I voluntarily said, God, Father, send me. I want to be the one that goes and suffers, and that's my choice. I want to go. And so he did the Father's will. He said, I always do what's pleasing to my Father. I could see my Father wanted someone to go down and it would mean their death. And I said, let it be me. And so when he says the Father's greater than I, he's talking as Son of Man, not as Son of God. Am I clear? So it's all good news. There is no darkness, no bad news, no hopelessness in God. And you can live. You can live. You personally can live a happy, holy, yes, prosperous, wonderful life here, heaven on earth. You don't have to wait for heaven. You don't have to wait for heaven. Now, you have to wait to see it. I'm not saying you'll see it all the time. I'm not saying we always look like what we are. I'm just saying you have to believe that you are what you are in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And so The church has a lot of healing to do, and some dramatic things. If we don't have a revival now, I don't see how we're going to be ready when he comes back. So I believe that we are going to have a revival. I'm not the head of it or something, but I'm ready for it, and I believe a lot of believers are saying so. I believe there are more of us than there are that you can imagine. Amen. It's just they don't always go to church. There's a lot of people in the world that are sick of church because they know it's so lukewarm, it's nothing. And so I don't blame people for not going to church. The thing is, though, the church ought to be a place where it's heaven and where sinners could come in and be convicted and realize, wow, I'm not living right. I want to be like you. And so that has been saved. Again, I pointed out that God has not fooled us on that like somebody goofed up or something. He already told it was going to be just like it is. So don't be surprised. The only thing is, do you believe personally, forget your husband and your children and everybody else, you can't make them do anything. God never forces good things, true things, just things, right things. Never. I never will. That you don't manipulate people, trick people, and so on. You just deliver the goods, and if it works, it works, and if it doesn't, that's up to God and that person. Yes. But tell the truth and live the truth. And so we need to be truly the salt of the earth, and not have any other salt. The salt, not some salt. The salt. Why? Because we're the only ones that can tell the truth that would convict them by our lives. Jesus can't do it because he's not upstairs. He's now in us. So that's why you're the salt of the earth and the light of this world, because you're the temple of the living God, the true and living God, as Texans wrote in 1836 and again when they started their state in 1845, 10 years later, kind of. They held to all the same things. They didn't change the Bill of Rights. They didn't change any of their things. So Texas, unlike the United States now, which has definitely drifted away from its foundation, Texas is the hope for the rest of the United States. I can't say Utah is, or California, or I can't point to any other state. That doesn't mean there aren't people inside those states that want to be Christian. And they're still fighting and winning some victories and so on. But it's still not what Jesus wants. He doesn't just want a few here and a few there. And so this is the only state, as far as I know, and I'm sure I'm right, this is the only state where it actually could happen. So God could have a revival here that could impact not only Texas, not only the United States, but the whole entire world. We are now not just the 12th economy. We're probably going to become one of the top economies in the world, like 6 or 7. And that's because of our rich resources and because of our Christian faith and worship and because of the policies that are based on that. You cannot find this in any other state. There is no other. And Dallas-Fort Worth happens to be the most in the state of Texas. So North Texas, Dallas, that include Denton, that this little area right here is powerful for the Lord. It's not true in Houston. It's not true in Austin. It's not true in San Antonio. This is it. Wow. So this is the most religious and the most powerful. Lots of billionaires, lots of people prospering and so on, but lots of people who just love Jesus. And so it's pretty exciting. Now, why did Jesus come into the world? Well, he came into the world because... You know why he came when he came? He came exactly on time. I believe, you don't have to believe this because it's not in the Bible clear. I believe he was born at tax time in the spring. Now, I'll tell you why. I believe that because of how this second chapter of Luke starts out. Luke 2, verse 1. Listen to it. And it came to pass... In those particular days, in the Greek, it's a word that says not just days, but exact days, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Now, Caesar Augustus was the most famous, most powerful Caesar there ever was. And when he was 58 years old, this taxing took place. And Jesus is born right then. He'll live 10 more years. A few more years after this. And then he will die. But he set up a tax system that the whole world should be enrolled or registered or surrender their name to the government. In other words, surrender to tyranny. How many know that if somebody can tax you, pretty soon they can own everything you've got? And especially if the people aren't in charge, which we aren't anymore. And therefore, you can lose everything. You don't own anything today. I don't know if you know that. Everything you think you own, you do not own. Your house, you do not own. Your land, you do not own. You own nothing. And by the way, if you don't own land, you own nothing. You don't even have citizen rights. And forget how that happened, but that happened because we were at sleep. We were sleeping when that took place. And all you have now on your property, just to be specific, is a warranty deed. It's a piece of paper. Pieces of paper never transfer, convey corporeals, that is, real things. The only thing they can convey is the rights to use it. So you're a tenant. You're a renter. That's why you have to pay the government. It's not in the Constitution. What you're paying today is not constitutional. But the reason you do it is because you don't have any rights. That's why they can say things and you can yell at them all day long, but what you don't realize is it's your fault. That happened. And there's a way out of it, but you can't be ignorant of the law. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, the way out is start worshiping Jesus. Yes. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. Yes. I'll just give it to you. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to, throw a riot somewhere or, carry placards around. The problem with the church today is it believes that the problems are political, economic, and social when they're not. They're spiritual. And those that are good guys aren't. So it isn't enough to be naive and think, well, I believe in Jesus. McCray, I know you do. But, because you better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. So he's still under the law. Yeah. See, so. But what was I saying? It was very good, whatever it was.
There are really no good guys.
There are no good guys, yeah. So the only ones he's judging today is not the politicians, not the the social, corrupt, immoral people in Hollywood or whatever. He doesn't care what they do. What he's caring about is, what about his own people, us? Amen. Let judgment begin in the household of God. Amen. It's right here in this room. Forget all the other churches and lukewarm and whoever they are, popes and so on. We don't care about them. All God cares about is those that are, committed to go all the way with him and aren't. Or hypocritical about it. Or just talking it but not walking it. Could I hear an amen, a soft
amen.
One, but an amen? Could I have another one?
Amen.
Yeah, because the problem is not them, it's us. If my people, who are called by my name, if my people will humble themselves, well, there's a problem right there. A lot of Christians are proud. They're very strong. They're, sure of themselves. I believe in Jesus and so on. That's not enough. Believing in Jesus is only the beginning. But you have to also be sanctified and also be glorified where your deeds are seen. Nobody sees your justification or your sanctification. And we just have Christians that believe in Jesus, but they're not sanctified, meaning they don't rule over all their sin. They're not killing their self on a daily basis. They're still listening to their will, to their mind, to their emotions and so on and so forth, and being led not by God, but by themselves and just, the world, the flesh, and the devil. God wants that dead. This is the only place on earth it could happen.
Yeah.
He wants us to do it really, really, really. Now, how do you do it? Well, you don't do it. He does it, but you have to let him do it, and you have to agree with that, and you have to seek his face. It says, you know, if you behold Jesus, you'll be changed into his glory. Too many of you are beholding problems. Amen. You're beholding your relationships. Amen. You're beholding family members. Amen. You're beholding, you know, what you feel and what you think. And you're just beholding all kinds of stuff down here. Your mind is down here rather than up there. The reason he came down was so we could go up with our eyes and with our hearts and our lives. Now, you say it's not possible. Oh, yes, that is. That's absolutely possible. So there's no excuse. You can't say he wouldn't forgive. McCray, I've never had competition like this. No. All right. Oh, you were saying give me more food. I see. He wants goodies. He understands Christmas. It's all goodies. Give me the goodies. Give me a gift. Give me something I don't have to pay for that's free. You know, McCray hasn't been all that good, and yet you feed him. It's unbelievable. So, you see, our religion is the only one in the world that says you can misbehave and God loves you. It's the only one. How many know we all sin? That's not what's interesting. What's interesting is what do you do after you sin? That's when God wants you to confess, humble yourself, pray, seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways. That's four things. The first thing you do is you humble yourself, then you pray to him, which is like praise and worship. And that'll change you right there. Then seek his face. Don't lean to your own understanding. Lean not to your own thoughts, to your own desires. Acknowledge him in all your ways. God, what do you say about this? What do you do about this? And that, you have to read the Bible. We gave Bibles to all our kids. David, get one. Nice ones. And then I wrote in it that you know, this religion is the only thing it's the only thing there is. There isn't anything else. That's the rock. That's the salt. That's the light. That's the temple of the living God. So if you get a hold of this truth, it'll set you free. Now, there are lots of big churches, but I don't trust big churches. The reason I don't trust them is not because they aren't preaching the gospel. Some of them are. And some of the pastors are real Christians. But most of them are just feeding the flesh. They're not teaching how to kill your flesh. Why? Because it drives people off. We used to have lots of people. We just drove them off. So if there's any here, go away, you know. Yeah, but the good ones. We got the good. Keep the good. But the truth is, this is all good news. And, you know, people are afraid of being happy. I'm going to say it again. People are afraid of being happy. Most people feel that if they got happy, they'd sin. No, really, seriously. They just feel like, oh, my God, the devil's going to get me because I'm too happy right now. But God wants you happy all the time. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's one of the marks of a Christian. Love, joy. Joy. So you have to have love, but what is love if it's dour? I love you. It's hard, but I'm doing it. You know, it has to have joy, peace. It has to be patient. It has to be peaceful, et cetera, et cetera. And in other words, peace doesn't really just mean no war. Peace actually means helping people to be lined up with the purposes of God on earth. Now, you got to start with yourself, but that's what God wants. That's why Jesus came, to establish his kingdom. And so he is the light of the world. So the first title is Wonderful Counselor, Good News. With Jesus, never bad news. He takes all the burden, you get all the blessing. He takes all the burden, you get all the blessing. Anything that's wrong, even if he tells you what's wrong, he's only telling you so he's going to do it. He's not telling you so you'll do it. He's not telling you so you'll feel bad. He's not telling you to lift a finger. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, my burden on you, and I'll break all those other burdens that are over you. You take his burden, you take his yoke, it's easy, it's light. Learn of me, I'm gentle. Then it'll break every other burden. That's what that was talking about in the Old Testament, about the breaking of the burden off of the people. That was the Assyrian, the Egyptian, the Babylonian, the Persian, the Greek, and now the Roman and then the Holy Roman, and now the New World Order Roman. You know, it's all still Roman because that's the last group. But he's going to take all the yoke off of Israel. He's going to take, and we're part of Israel, by the way. We're part of that new Israel, that spiritual, not blood Israel. Spiritual. The children of Abraham are not Ishmaelites. The children of Abraham are anyone that believes in Yeshua. Abraham was the father of faith, not the father of Ishmael. The father of Ishmael is just biological. But Ishmael did not follow his religion. He followed his mother's Egyptian religion of Baal. Baal, which is behave yourself and then you get a reward. Well, that's not our religion. Our religion is misbehave and God still loves you. And then he wants to remake you. First, he wants to forgive you. Second, he wants to remake you. Third, he wants to perfect you, and so on and so forth. That's his work. And if it's not happening, there's something wrong because it's not on his side. If you're not growing daily, continually, constantly, you can sin. But the minute you sin, you say, God, forgive me. Sorry. And change right then and there. So he isn't angry that you sin. He's angry that you stay in it and you don't immediately take care of it. God, that's not right. I know you wouldn't have done that. That was the devil. That was my flesh. That was me. That was the world influencing me or something. I don't want that. And so you don't have to have any big rhemas or something like that. That's just what he wants. He wants you to have heaven on earth down here. He's after your happiness. If you're sinning, you're not happy. I'm going to say it again. If you're sinning, you're not happy. So that's foolish to think if I get happy, I'll sin. It's the opposite. If you're happy in the Lord, happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Happy is the man that trusts. Happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. That's the happiness right there, and that produces the holiness. It's not the other way around. Holiness does not produce happiness. Happiness produces holiness. Why? Because of what he did, that makes me happy. Therefore, I become like him. The more I meditate and chew on Jesus, just beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory. Until we become like Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach. Anyway, Israel is learning that now, and it wouldn't surprise me that they surpass us. They're a lot more passionate and focused than we are here in our land of luxury without suffering. But you are, and I thank God for what's happening right now, because we're beginning to suffer here. And that's good. That's a good thing. If you don't suffer with the Lord because of your faith, if you don't suffer, you will not be glorified. You will not be glorified with him. You can't walk down the aisle and meet Jesus who suffered and died for you if you don't have the same kind of jewelry on. The jewelry is the suffering you did in this world because of the name of Jesus. Because you clung to him, you paid a heavy price. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
There's sorrow and sadness. So what? Laugh at it. You know why? That's the best thing happened to you. It killed your flesh. It didn't kill your spirit. It killed your flesh. I think it was killing my spirit. No, it didn't. It killed your flesh. You were proud. It knocked you down. And you were believing in yourself. Don't believe in yourself. But you've got to believe in Jesus. Well, this message not only will not sell, it's going to be the only message that's going to work. So don't worry whether it sells or not. You don't sell it because it's going to work. You sell it because Jesus said to do it. Amen?
Amen?
And if you had the joy, if you had the joy, if you had the love, if you had the peace, if you had the kindness and so on, I tell you, the world would know it. They would know it and they would glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the reason that Jesus came was to change the world so that we would be restored to the image, born again, and the likeness of Jesus Christ in all of our ways and deeds and so on. That's what he wants. So let the judgment begin in the household of God. Jesus came not to bring everybody together in unity. He did not come to do that. He came to divide a mother from her mother-in-law, you know, father and so on. He came to divide people who are not with him and who are.
Yeah.
And those that want happiness now as well as in the future. You can't have future happiness if you don't have present happiness now. You can't be miserable all this way and then finally go to heaven because you suffered so much. He's not interested in that. That'll never happen. If you don't have heaven on earth, you're not going to get it in heaven.
Amen.
Hello? Amen. Hello? So you should start, tell your face right now,
look happy.
No, I'm not saying look. I'm saying be happy. But I'm saying you don't have to always look happy. But if you didn't ever look happy, there's something wrong. If it's this good, it's got to break out every once in a while.
Amen.
At least once a month. Could have anybody here once a month smile. Just, let's start out, you know, wherever you are, this is heaven. We are experiencing, we're not going to go to heaven someday if you didn't have some heaven down here. You better have, just meeting Jesus, if everything else fell apart and I still have Jesus, I got everything. I lost nothing. If I lost my health, it's nothing. If I lost my wealth, it's nothing. If I lost all my relationship, it's nothing. If I lost my country, it's nothing. When you have Jesus, you have everything. You're in prison. It doesn't make any difference. I go to the prison. I'll probably go in another couple months. But I like to go because those people are a captive audience. And they don't want you to quit or leave. They want to hear it out. And I'm an African kind of pastor. I love to preach for hours and hours. So they can sing and dance, and they love Jesus. But I love it because they can't get away. They don't want to go back and just sit in the cell, you know. It's no good. So they like being free for an hour or two. But we have several of our church members that do that every week. They're locally here, and then they go to the federal as well. But you've never seen such open people. It's wonderful. Why? Because they don't have any hope. They know it. That's why the third world comes to the gospel right away. You go to India, you build a church, $10,000, whatever, you just build a church, and the next day you've got 200 Muslims, you got 200 Hindus, you got 200, you know, of something. Because they're ready, and you hadn't even preached to them. They just saw you building, and they say, wow, any God that would build a church in our little stinking village like that, they must have something. That God must care for us. And Peggy and I have both been there, and it's powerful. They immediately rip off their beads that were given to them as babies, as infants, to ward off the demons, and they toss them away. And how do they know to do that? You know, it's amazing to me. They just know, get rid of that. I don't need it anymore. I've got Jesus.
Wow.
And they did that in just minutes because they saw your love. That's why they bought the truth, speaking the truth in love. So without that compassion, without that love, they're not buying it. And so they want some hope, and there's no hope in the Hindu system. There's no hope of getting out of your, you know, low-class latrine cleaning. You don't get out. If you're a Brahmin, you're on top, and if you're the low guy, well, we've been winning so many. I would say maybe 12 to 15,000 every day. And a lot of them come from that lower group. They are now the leaders in the country.
Hallelujah.
That lower group, we taught them how to read and write and love Jesus and so on and so forth. Now they went to school, and now they're educated, and now they're running the country. It's interesting. You may not know that. Officially, you'll never know that because they actually don't tell who's a Christian and who's not. So they keep it at 3 or 4% when it's really much, much higher. I could prove it, but I don't want to. So God is reaping a big harvest in China. Huge. 30,000 a day. Huge in Africa. All over Africa. Whole countries. It's amazing. I've watched particularly in the middle there below the equator, and then all the way to south is most of that's Christian. But above it's Muslim. But I watched Nigeria, and I've watched different countries where it used to be two-thirds Muslim, one-third Christian. Now it's two-thirds Christian, and the Muslims are receding. And they've even put in Sudan now. Southern Sudan now is mostly Christian. And just wherever you go, and that was their territory before. They're losing their own territory. So we're not losing, we're winning. Go anywhere in the world, I can show you that Christians are dominating. They are winning. They're not losing at all. Why? Because they have power. Why? Because of God. It's not because of tricks. It's because of that truth with love. People are attracted to it. So India, China, et cetera, all over South America and so on. So why did Jesus come? He came because tax time, deliberately. Tax time for God. is darkness, tyranny, civil and religious tyranny. Because sooner or later, the guys that are raising that tax own everything. They just start out with a small little tax, and pretty soon it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then before long, now they're the ones loaning money. They're the ones that, you know, empower people. They're the ones giving away all this stuff. Where'd they get it? From you and me. They took your hard-earned stuff. They didn't get it from the poor. They got it from us. Now, it's our own fault because we didn't worship God. That was the Jewish problem. If they had worshiped God, if they had humbled themselves and said, you know what, we've messed up big time, God immediately would have blessed them. Rome would have been gone. The way to defeat Rome is go to God.
Yes.
And I'm not just making that up. That's what it says in the Bible. But I'm just telling you, it's the same today. What's missing today in Texas, what's missing today is worship, free. No 501c3, no, you know, local tax exemption on your property, no, you know, state incorporation, all that nonsense where they keep you under their thumb and under their control. And even though it's been mild so far, that doesn't mean anything. They at any time can say, we want homosexuality in the ministry and we want this, and the pastors just have to accede to it. They control the churches. They want them registered. Anyway, my point is this, that it's not God's will, but so what? They have the power, they just can force it. So let's have a revival.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just start with us right here. Let's have a free church in a free state and go for it. Because that's the only way you're going to go around the world. You can't leave even this place in most countries. Wherever you are, you got to stay right there. And you can't have a big account. You can't take out so many dollars and so on. They don't let you take out sometimes no currency. They don't want you to leave at all. And it's very stringent. So in this country, we can still do things. So it isn't gone, but it's going. And you need to stop it, but you need to change. Make sure you're a worshiper of God on a daily basis.
Yes.
Tomorrow, big time, don't just open presents. Open up this present right here. This free gift that God gave you. I don't care how it's wrapped. It may be ugly wrapping. I wrapped some presents today and they were ugly. But it's the present inside that counts, not the wrapping on the outside. Poor Ben. Ben is my grandson. And I got him this thing. It's a little thing. And you tilt upside down and it has little snow things coming down on it. And then as I finally, it's all, you know, it's a brown ball kind of thing. And I wrapped it up and it was all over the place because wrapping somehow doesn't go around. You know, but so I got it all taped and so on. So it looked good. And then I took it to the tree and dropped it and broke, you know. So that was that. So poor Ben. Now don't tell Ben that. God is good. How many know that God can fix anything,
yeah,
anyone at any time? I mean, every day I'm asked to pray, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 times from people all over the world, not just here. People are always asking for prayer, for their health, for their families, for their finances, for whatever. But those prayers work. Prayers happen. They make things happen. God wants us to pray. And I believe the best has been saved to the last. I don't believe we're about to see us all kind of go out with a whimper. I believe we're going out royal style. But you have to preach the truth, live it, be willing to die for it.
Amen.
If you're not willing to die for it, you're not willing to live for it.
Amen.
So I'm not talking to the women, I'm talking to the men.
Amen.
You got to have men that are willing to stand up and die for this, not stay in the background and watch the women, you know, pray and please God.
Yep.
So thinking of David Cooper, you got to be the man of the house.
Yep.
Let your wife get all the blessing, you take all the burden.
Amen.
Amen. It's good. And not just say it. Did you see what a hypocrite he was? He was just saying it. But his wife knew better. No, it's okay. God is not mad at us. He's not mad at anybody. He's not mad at the bad guys. He's only saying to you, why don't you want to obey? You call me Lord, but you don't do what I say. If you call me Savior, I'd understand. Because you're saying, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. How many know we have a lot of those prayers? Have mercy, God, sorry again, you know. But we ought to also have, Lord, whatever your will is, I want to do it today. I want to do it now. I don't have an agenda of mine. I just have your agenda.
Hallelujah.
even if it costs me, even if it hurts me, good. That's the way to talk to your flesh. How many of your flesh is not going to just sit back silent? It's going to make noise. Don't do that. You know, but just don't listen to it. Just tell it, boo, boo, go away. And just follow Jesus. So I don't ever listen to the devil or the world. The world has a lot of junk. Whenever they offer a gift, don't take it. Seriously. I used to take all those things. You have just won. You know, I don't do that anymore. Peg, we are in the final thing. I did that every time, you know. I don't know if I just lost stamps or what I lost, but whatever it was stupid because I was believing in that. We're in the final. Scratch that thing. Yeah, see? Right there. we get the car, I'm sure. All right. So God is great. How many know that Jesus can't lie? So if we're the best he has, what's he got? Yeah. You know why? Because we know we're not perfect. We know that we haven't done everything we should have and could have, right? So it isn't pride. We don't want people to be proud that I'm better than you are. We want people to be humble and say, no, but God, you made a promise. Forget what I didn't do or did do. You made a promise. Keep your promise. You did send Jesus. You did send Jesus. And he did show us how to live. And 2,000 years later, there's still a lot of Christians who are not living the way he said. Amen. It's okay. But we ought not to be in that group. Not because we're better. Because we're not better. We are equally or worse. Maybe the only reason we seek him is because we are in trouble all the time. And that's good. I like that. It's good to be in trouble all the time. God had one young man call me, I'm sure, 8 times in the last 2 days. You know, he kept saying, I hate to bother you. Then why are you calling? You know, but he actually was so excited about what he's doing. Because he's going to go to Israel tomorrow. So it's exciting. So he wanted to make sure it's going to be perfect. You know, it's going to be just right. And the reason he's going tomorrow is because that's the cheapest ticket you can get on Sunday. Christmas, that's the time. And the Jews now have learned that, and they're all going to Israel on Christmas now, too. So it's great. You can go for $1,000 or something. Anyway. God is great. God is good. Tax time. When Mary was 9 months, you don't travel when you're 7 or 8. Definitely not 9. You cannot. That's horrible. That is wrong. You could lose the baby. But God arranged it so that not only were they traveling at the wrong time, not only was she pregnant, but also there was no room in the inn. And none of her, and everybody in town was a relative of hers. They were all of her family. But they wouldn't give up their room for her no matter what. So they had to go out into the barn, the stall. Fatne, that's the word. It just means the cow stall. It looks like this, like a little baby crib, but it isn't that nice. It just means they were out there with the animals. And we make it look nice on the Christmas card, but that's not so much fun if you're having a baby and there's no hot water and there's nobody nursing you or helping you and so on. You got Joseph, you know. And, you know, so, you know, he wasn't much, I'm sure. Go for it. Go for it, sweetheart. You know, I'm sure he wasn't not doing a lot. If he's anything like me, whoa, just get that thing done. Get that baby to be 2 or 3 so I can talk to it. I love mothers. I just think mothers are awesome. How they can raise those children. You know, how they can keep them clean and stuff like that. I just put them in the tub and just hose them down. So I have my quicker ways, which are not good. So I am definitely not gifted. Well, Christmas is a time of joy But you know, everything God does is. There's nothing our God has done. Give me any other religion where there's joy, hope, peace, right, truth. None. This is it. And what little we've done with it, we got to do a lot more. So it isn't that you do it. He's in you to willing to do. That's the Holy Spirit. But you need to enter into his finished work.
Hallelujah.
Not for your sake to get into heaven, but for other people's sake. So that they see the joy and they see the life, not in heaven, on earth. They need to see it right here.
Hallelujah.
And God was able not only to keep that baby alive, keep Herod from killing it, everything else. I tell you, all kinds of awful things were, you know, could have happened, but never did they happen. Because when God is for you, who can be against you? Amen?
Amen.
You can be happy all the time. You should be. Don't be afraid to be happy all the time.
Yes,
could I have one or two hands? Pastor, I'm going to be happy all the time. Hey, there's Alex. Alex is the one going. I didn't know you were here. Amen. Amen. It's good. Good. All right. God is great. So the Lord is great and greatly to be praised.
Amen.
And really, it has nothing to do with how bright we are, how smart we are, how rich we are, how gifted we are, how talented we are. It has to do whether God lies or not. God cannot lie. When he says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, he's not saying church, toward men. He's saying all men. I can prove it because the verse before it says, "This." The angel says, this is good news to all the people. And then it defines it. So you cannot make a mistake on this. Is this Christianity is not for Christians. It's for others. It's not just for us. It's for us to enjoy it first. Otherwise, you couldn't tell someone else about it if you didn't first of all have it. But if you have it and then you're depressed and you're sad and you're griping and complaining and so on. Again, those are just sins. But you need to confess them and stop it. You need to begin to walk in joy all the time. I mean, Christians, I tell you, I believe why I am alive, physically alive, is because I go to the most god-awful places, and I could be killed a lot. There's many people have shot at me and all kinds of things. But I believe I'm alive because I don't have any enemies. Mm-hmm. I'm always happy and smiling in the worst of conditions, living among the pygmies, whatever it is, for day after day and so on. It's just horrible situation. So what? You go there because there's no hope there and you want there to be hope. You don't want to go to Hawaii. You want to go where nobody else wants to go because the market entry is high. In other words, nobody wants to go there. And therefore, you don't have any competition. And whatever you share is all they got. And I'll tell you, they'll walk 20, 30 miles. The gospel, did you know the harvest is ripe?
Yeah.
This is God speaking. The harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. So if you can't go, pray. If you can't pray, send money.
Amen.
No, I'm serious. Another brother, not in this state, another brother out of state, he got a big bonus at the end of the year, over $100,000. And he said, I want to give a tithe of that to your African work. So that, you know, that happens all the time. It's powerful. He called again today and said, you know, I don't want to get a big tax bill now at the end of the year. What else has he got? You know, so that'll be exciting. So I just tell you, God is not done yet. And he has all the money in the world. He has all the time in the world. Don't worry, he won't come back. If there's a few that might have come, he knows ahead of time. He's going to wait until everybody's ready. And he wants a big wedding.
Yeah.
He wants a big wedding. He's not just Savior. He's not just Lord. He's also bridegroom.
Yes.
And he's coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. How many would like to marry a bride who's dirty? You know, she's just a mess. She's griping, complaining, sad. Nobody. Everybody at least on their wedding day for an hour or so. At least. After that, you know, it's different. But at least on that day, there should be joy, incredible joy. And how many know that after you get married, I can tell you, I swear to God, before God, to you, that I am happier today in my marriage than the day I married. But I can also tell you, I never went down. I wasn't a Christian in the beginning. So I can say that's why I'm happier, is because of Jesus. And, you know, I love being married. It's wonderful. But God knows how to take any marriage, any situation, and turn it to good. All he has to do is kill the man. Seriously. You kill the man, everything's going to be all right. Amen? Is that good, David? Yeah. And remember that, Zach, when you get older. Kill the man. The Bible says crucified daily. We are crucified daily. That should be a man thing. A woman, that would crucify a woman also if that happened. You know, she would be like, I can't believe it. She'd drop over, you know. Because most women are used to having to prop them up. And Peggy has been propping me for years. And so, you know, so I told her, it's okay, Peg, just let me fall. I'll be all right. I'm an embarrassment, I know. But let it go. Let it go. How many know that we don't have to behave? What he wants is he wants to behave for you all the time. You cannot outgive God. What God has everything, you have nothing. Everything you have is a gift. Greatest gift ever given. There it is. And that gift keeps on giving and giving and giving and giving. It'll change everything. So, hope everybody's happy, excited this time. Anyone want to share something? All right, then, we'll close.